to Talking with the G's, where we explore the unseen world in music, life, and culture. I am your host, Danielle G, and my co-host, David G, just stepped out the room, but he'll be right back. Today, we're exploring the unseen world of single motherhood. Our special guests are Anita from Texas and Shannon from Maryland. Hello, ladies.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Doing fine. And absolutely wonderful.
Thank you so much for joining us today. So we're going to dive right in. Let me first tell you why we decided to talk about single motherhood. Because David and I have recently became foster parents. And I never really realized how hard my mother worked and how much she gave. So this month, or really next week being Mother's Day, we decided to celebrate our mothers all month long. And I really believe that it should be a national campaign where we celebrate mothers, not just one day in May, but really all month, because I think mothers deserve it. What is your take on that, ladies?
Motherhood is a 365-day job. The pay sucks, but the rewards are wonderful. That's my take on it. Being, you know, an older mother, that's my take on it. I deserve to have not just one day, but every day. Being a mother and a grandparent, yes, I deserve that. So, yeah, that's great. I hope that works out for you.
Thank you. Shannon, what is your take that Mother's Day should not be a one-day thing, but it should be a whole month-long celebration?
Well, congratulations on becoming and deciding to be a foster parent. I think you're a very brave person. You and David have stepped forward and done something that a lot of us have not done and may not feel it's something for us. As far as being a mother, I had to suppress a laugh when Miss Anita mentioned that the pay sucks. The pay,
yes,
sucks. I believe the children should have been born with an insufficient fun stamp on their butt. I love them dearly, but it is a daily challenge. And as a young mother, I'm discovering that, you know, I still will be woken up at 3 a.m. from my 7-year-old or my 9-year-old for various reasons, from I saw a spider to I think my throat hurts to I have a headache. And they still want to climb in the bed with me. And I thought I would be done that at baby stage. So it is an ever-evolving experience, one that has many rewards. But Lord knows, we need like, there should be exactly that motherhood campaign for the whole month, because, phew, one day does not cut what we did.
I would agree. So I want to talk about single motherhood and dating, because that's something that we don't hear about. You know, you don't see it on TV. Nobody's sitting at Starbucks talking about, hey, you know, how was your date, Mom? Nobody talks about stuff like that. So I'm gonna let David jump in here, and he's gonna, you know, we really want to dive into this subject.
Okay, well, seeing that, you know, I'm like I said, I'm an older mother, and my nest is empty now, thank God. But there was a time in my life that dating was rather difficult, having children, because children need your undivided attention at all times, and trying to juggle dating and taking care of children would, like she said, the mysterious sore throat or the mysterious running nose or the mysterious sneezes that come from nowhere. Yeah, it's pretty difficult. But like I said, I mean, my story had a happy ending to it, because the guy that I was dating while I was single has had children as well. So it was like, you know, a learning process for me. And it turned out, at first it was a little difficult, but then once we got the swing of things, and I mean, things just like panned out and worked itself out, you know, enormously.
Well, I know for me as a single mom and dating, and I'm still trying to conquer this beast, I have two takes on it. There's the chances I've dated men who also have children, and there's the times I've dated men who don't have children. And I must agree with Miss Anita that when a man has a child, things can work out a lot better. One, if the children are similar ages, it's easier to go out together as a group instead of having to search for a sitter. It's easier for like, the children to all get together. It's easier to visit each other's house for dinner, and the kids can, you know, play together while you guys are having a conversation. And you get to see how he acts with his child, and get an understanding of how he will act and does act with your child. Also, men with children understand the sore throat, the mysterious fever, the I thought I had the babysitter for the date tonight, but she called out at the last second. They understand those hiccups, and they're more lenient to it. And they will also be the men who say, hey, let's go out Friday night. And they'll say that on a Monday, giving you a whole 5 days to find a sitter, plan what you're going to wear, have contingencies for when someone's going to get sick. They're more time sensitive. They understand that you as a mother have a responsibility, and you have a life outside of them, and that they have to work around those things.
Yes.
So they'll give you more time to go out. There'll be more understanding if you can't go out every weekend. Men without children and who have never dated a single mother, you have to almost train them. You know, they don't understand why you can't just get up and go out tonight. They will ask you to go out the same night. And you're sitting there like, man, I really like this guy. I don't want to disappoint him. Who can watch the children now? And as a single mom, that ain't nobody watching your children now. You need at least a day or two. So with men who don't have children, it's more of a juggling act, getting them to understand why you can't do something right now when they are 100% free, 100% unattached, and go out and party whenever they want to.
So what should a man do, per se, if he wants to date a single mom?
My prospect on that is he should be, you know, as the relationship grows, he should have a clear understanding it's all or nothing. I mean, if he's willing to date me, then he's willing. He has to be willing, you know, to compromise with me and the children, you know. Every now and again, I feel like he should pay for the babysitter. If he wants to date that man, let him pay for the babysitter, if he's caring enough.
What do you think, Shannon?
You're not going to find many that are willing to do that. But, I mean, it's a thought.
Yeah, I believe that you have to find a guy who's willing to step up and do that. Who's willing to say, hey, I understand that you, I mean, I had a guy once, it was amazing. He said, oh, you can't go out, you need a sitter? Hey, I'll pay for the sitter. You find the sitter, I'll pay for it. And I was like, what? You go, what? Okay, great. I just got to find the babysitter. But there's not that many men who would do that. And as a single mother, you have to be mindful of not spoiling a guy you're dating. Because if you make it seem like, yeah, it can be all about him and he can be number one, he's not going to understand when you start putting him on the back burner because you have kids. You have to let him know from the jump, I've got kids. I've got responsibilities. I need notice. I need time before I can go out. And you can't overspoil him, because if you do that, he's going to think, oh, it's about me. And most men want it to be about them when they're dating. And they have to be prepared to take the second or third role.
Yeah.
That's true.
That's true.
Well, Shannon and Anita, since we started to adopt me and Danielle, it became harder and harder to find the intimate life, the intimacy. So we're just wondering, as single moms, it's like when you're dating, does that become hard?
Does it go out the window?
Actually, no. Actually, you know, you have to make time. Like I said myself, before I got married and raising two teenage boys, yeah, it was quite difficult, but we made time for each other. He understood that, you know, I had teenage boys, but through that, I had an understanding mate, and we made time for each other. Now that we're empty nesters and we have no children, well, I'm going to tell you like this. We're just like two old farts sitting on the porch, waiting on time to just pass us by. No, I mean, we have a lot of intimate time now, you know, together. And more so, you know, we're like in our 50s and we're like, okay, to the point that we have too much time, you know,
what?
But it is what it is. And I mean, I enjoy the peace and quiet that we have with each other. So yeah, but during the dating scene, we had to literally, you know, juggle schedules and make time, you know, plan getaways, you know, just me and him, plan a little weekend, you know, trips and things like that. That was the exciting part about the dating.
Awesome. So when is it appropriate to bring him home?
When I began dating, I mean, it like happened like so fast. Like I tell people, you know, it was like a Cinderella story. It was like, okay, we dated for like a month and a half or so. Then he wanted to meet my children. He met them. You know, he tried his best. With children, especially with teenagers, when they're so used to just one there, it's kind of hard because they're looking at, okay, who is this man? Why is he stepping in on our time? It used to be just me and my mom. Now there's this other fella. They kind of gave him a little hard time at the beginning, but, you know, it kind of panned out and it played itself out again and smoothed itself out, and things began to get a whole lot lighter. You know, when he actually, you know, proposed to me, he actually went to my children, you know, and, you know, I, you know, love your mom, and I want to be, you know, I can't be your father, but I could be there for you kind of speech. He gave them that, even though they gave him a rough time, but they learned to like him because he made me happy. And that was all that they wanted, was that I be happy. So, I mean, the transition was like great for me.
Awesome. So Shannon, you have younger kids. So if you ever brought somebody home and your kids just didn't gel with them, or your kids just didn't like them, like, what do you do in that type of situation? You like the guy, you think the guy's awesome, but your kids are like, oh no. How do you handle that?
Well, you know, I've actually had some interesting times with that. Overall, because my kids are younger, they're just into, where are we going? What are we doing for fun? If a person comes over, well, while they're here, are they going to dance with us? Are they going to play Candyland with us? Or, you know, usually an extra person is, oh, great, what to do? It's not like, well, who are you? It's more like, okay, I don't really know you, but you seem nice. But there was a time where I was dating this one guy, and he met the kids really quick because his child also went to the same child care facility as my children. So they already knew each other. They're like best buddies. For them, it's like, I can't wait for this person to come over with their child because I can't wait to see their child again. But the gentleman was from a military background. He was very strict. He believed in little girls being little girls and boys roughhousing, but being respectful. And for me, having a son and a daughter, my daughter's the youngest, and she feels as though she should have just as many rights as her brother. And the concept of her not being able to rough and tumble and jump and flip like the boys were doing, and that she should sit down and just look pretty, for her was like, are you kidding me? I mean, it rubbed me the wrong way, too, but, I mean, it really rubbed her the wrong way.
So, like, Shannon, well,
she's tossing them around the room. Mm-hmm.
We have to take a break. We got to get, we take music breaks here, and we're going to get a word in from one of our sponsors. But hold that thought, because when we come back, I want you to pick it up. It sounds like it's a very interesting story. Portion of our show is being brought to you by Ward Cleaning Service. They're located throughout the Baltimore and Washington, D.C. area. Let them hurt your dirt. Give them a call today at area code 443-866-1746. Ward Cleaning Service. And we're back. So, Shannon, you were in the middle of telling us a story of how you were dating a guy and he wasn't treating your son the same as your daughter.
Yes.
Janet?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay.
So, you know, they brought those concerns to me. And it was funny because at the time they were younger. They were 6 and 4. And, you know, they brought them to me. I tried to talk to him about it. And no matter what we did after that, he still had, like, it was just his nature to want... You know, he felt girls should be girls and boys should be boys and girls shouldn't fight boys and they shouldn't rough and tumble. And my views on that were totally different. I believe my daughter is free to roughhouse her brother as much as she wants to. So, needless to say, because my children were uncomfortable about it, I made it an issue big enough to say, okay, I don't think this is going to work. And that's, I think, one of the things all single moms have to be willing to do. It doesn't matter how much you like him or how great he sees or how much fun you have with him. You have to be willing at any moment, at any second. If your child voices a complaint that's legitimate, if you try to address it but there's no positive changes, then you should heed that. And you shouldn't want your children to be unhappy for the sake of you being happy. If anything, as a single mother, it's the other way around. You will be unhappy for the sake of your children being happy. And if that means not getting to spend time with this great guy that you like because they really can't get along with him for legitimate reasons, then so be it.
Do you find that guys are less likely to date single mothers because they're single? Because they're mothers?
I find, and because I'm still dating, horrible, but I find that guys don't want drama. Guys don't want you bad-mouthing your children's father who may or may not be there. If he's there and he's a positive person, great. I find guys want to avoid that. They also would love to date a woman who has some means or some resources and not just, woe is me, I'm single, I'm a mom, don't you want to be in my life to support me and these kids? That's like saying, hey, I want to go on a date, but you're taking me and the kids, and you're feeding me and the kids on the date. And I want our romantic getaway to be Chuck E. Cheese. They want someone who's going to, of course, make that time for them, get them to understand that, yes, their children are important to them, but still make that time for them and have life goals. I mean, I think being a single mother doesn't hinder you. It's what kind of attitude is the attitude of any woman you're dating? Do they come with a positive attitude, or are they always bad mouthing their children's father and always have their hand out, like saying, hey, got some money for me? Hey, you can drop off some groceries. Hey, can we go on a date and take the kids? I think they stare away from women like that. But if you're a person who says, hey, just give me 2 or 3 days, notice so I can get a sitter, I think they're respecting that. And I think there's enough single mothers out here who are doing that, that men aren't afraid if a woman has kids. I think the fear comes in if she has like 20 kids and she can't stand, and she's like 20 baby dads and she's a negative attitude. I think that's when guys are like, ah.
What about you, Anita? Did you find that was your experience?
Actually, no. I mean, like, when I was dating, I mean, I dated, you know, guys that were respectful of me having children. You know, I've dated guys who, you know, well, if you can't find a sitter, sure, we'll find something else to do, you know, along with the kids. You know, like I said, it was like, you know, it was like a dream come true to me. You know, I never had no one that, you know, really, really respected me as a mother, as well as a woman, you know, to accept the fact, hey, we can't go out this time. But, you know, if we couldn't go out, we would find something at home to do. You know, we would watch a movie tonight. He would order a pizza. He would, you know, he would do those things. And then, you know, he would, you know, sit with my boys and he would say, you know, hey, you know, I would like to take your mother out and, you know, we're going to go just us together, you know, not just do something for me. He actually done something for both of us. I mean, for the boys as well as for me, you know, so, I mean, I would say it was pretty easy, very rare, but pretty easy.
Shannon and Anita, are there any benefits to being a single parent?
Any benefits?
Benefits? Did you say benefits, David?
Like
you said benefits?
Or maybe benefits? I should rephrase that.
Not government benefits. Not government benefits, but...
Okay.
Well, no, you don't need to rephrase. For me personally, if there's a benefit, and I can only think of very few, maybe like one right now, is you don't have to negotiate with anybody on what's going to happen. That's it. It's just you. I don't have to compromise on rules. What I say goes. I don't have someone running behind me, but Dad said, but I, you know, at the same time, it would be nice to shift responsibility to someone else where maybe another person could make the decision. But if there's any benefit to being single, it's your way. And there's no one else, no other adult.
Your rules. I mean, the benefits are it's my rules, it's my way. My way or the highway. I mean, you know, like I said, I mean, I was a single parent, but the guy that I actually was dating, I actually married. So, I mean, it worked out good. There were times when I would get frustrated. He would say, okay, this is a mama's day. You do nothing. This is your time. Those benefits, those are good. You know, we are guys. We're going to go. He would take the boys, and they would go just driving range. They would go to the movies. They would go and play tennis. Give me mine. You know, those days, those were great benefits for me. But, I mean, yeah, I guess that's what you call it. But, I mean, being a single mother, you know, it, you know, I set the tone, I set the rules, you know, this is how it's going to go, either this way or the highway. You know, so, yeah, I mean, I if that's the way it was.
I guess the other part of that, as a single mother, we don't have time for riffraff and back talk.
No,
and,
really.
And upset it, children.
Yeah.
We don't have time for that. We can be very strict about what is going to happen and what is not going to happen, because
there's
no one who's going to jump in and have our back or support us in
exactly.
this. So our children need to be on point. We need
yes.
to say, we need to say one. We don't have time to count to 10 to get our children to behave. I need
no,
you to
but,
listen
I mean,
at number one.
Yes. If I got past 5, then, I mean, there's some really, 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 really bad consequences. Yeah. And I didn't get to 5 very often. I mean, it got to the point to where all I had to do was look. And it was like, okay, she got that look. Then I need to do what I need to do, be on point. Yes. You know. And as me raising 2 young boys, it was a struggle. I can say, me for a long time, there were no one but me and my boys. And, you know, dealing with one of my sons who has a mental illness, you know, it was a struggle. You know, and it's kind of hard to try to, you know, date when you have one son that has a mental illness and you have to constantly, you know, be on point and be concerned about that. You know, you have to, like, you know, walk very, very lightly when you're dealing with a son with mental illness. You know, a lot of men shun from that because they feel like, okay, well, I don't need to. That's too much, you know, for me to handle right now, you know, and we'll walk away, you know. Yeah, they will give you the, I called you and you'll never hear from them again. So, yes, it was very difficult.
Well, I wonder if I should go off topic then, because you brought up mental illness. So now I want to go on to the topic of, are there enough resources out there that help single parents with mentally, like, are there
okay.
adequate resources out there
yeah.
to help you to get you what you need?
Well,
or
yeah.
is there not enough? Would you
well,
think?
Personally, I can say for myself that I was raising my children in the 80s, 89, 90. There weren't a lot of resources out there to help with a child with mental illness. You know, like, I had my son at the age of 3. He was diagnosed with ADHD hyperactivity. It went from ADHD hyperactivity to bipolar. It went from bipolar to bipolar psychosis. So now that he's a grown man now, his diagnosis still is at, you know, bipolar psychosis. And my concerns to that is with the mental illness area, it's a gray area. There are not a lot of resources out there for him now, you know, as they were then, you know, and, you know, keeping him focused on, you know, getting the help that he need. That's a gradual, that's what the daily routine is, you know, keeping him, you know, with his meds, keeping him with, you know, the right resources that he needs to get, you know, to the medications and, you know, therapies that he need. Now, there are a lot of resources out there that I didn't have back then as, you know, when he was coming up as a child. As black women, you know, we feel like, okay, this is just a phase here, I'll grow it. But that didn't happen. You know, as the years went on, it gradually got worse, and it got worse until, you know, I just had to say, hey, I need to get a hold of this. There's, you know, someone out there that can help me. And I found the resources, you know, myself. You know, a doctor or, you know, no one ever told me about this. You know, I gradually, as he got up in age, found out about a lot of things. That was a plus. And I say plus by when I was dating, and I explained to my significant other now that I have a child with an illness. And believe it or not, I thought that he would run and head to the hills, but he stayed there with me through it all. And that was a plus for me. You don't find many men that will stay there with you, stay in the trenches with you, you know, go there with you, go beyond the call of duty with you. You know, I mean, I was just like lucky. You know, I said that was a godsend, you know, because I prayed and asked God, send me someone. I need some help. And I need some help from on high. And I did. I got that help. So, you know, now it's not as bad as it was raising him. You know, he has gotten to the point now that, you know, he's on task and he's doing what he has to do to keep his illness, you know, under control.
Shannon, do you find that there's adequate, if the schooling, educational resources out there, if you had any special needs in that area?
I know, I think Anita touched on a really good point of who's in the trenches with you as a single mother. My son does struggle with reading, but the point of who's in the trenches with you sticks in my head, because as a single mother, as a single parent, no one's in the trenches with you. Yeah, your family can give you advice and someone may suggest something, but I tell you what, you're working, 8 to 4, 9 to 5, you're sending your kids to school, probably before and after school care. You're coming home tired from work, having to then either provide extra help for your child or supposed to sit down and read with them and review their homework. Oh, let's not mention you need a fixed dinner, make sure that the laundry's done, because if you didn't do it over the weekend, you got to catch up during the week. There are
and
so
prepare
many
for the next day.
And prepare for, yeah, right, yourself for the next day. There are so many things on your plate. You are alone in that trench. And no matter how many buddies or friends you have, or mama you have, or pop-pop you have, if they're not in that house with you every single day, baby, it's just you. And as single mothers, I think I speak for a lot of them. We go to bed, and our pillows are tear-stained, and our showers are tear-stained, and we're stressed. And if there's any mental illness or educational help your child needs, you're stressed. Because when do you find time to even get them to that resource? When do you find time to get them to that counselor? At the same time, you have no choice but to do it. You have to make time and you have to make a way. And I think that's what sometimes puts dating as a luxury. That's on the back burner. It would be great to have someone there to help you in them trenches. But baby, when you working, you just gotta work. And I know I struggle with coming home and reading to both my children at night before they go to bed. Matter of fact, it's on the calendar to do 3 nights a week, not 7. It's on my to-do list 3 nights a week because I don't have it to do it 7. I am mentally and physically drained. I've also noticed and experienced that sometimes there are resources that can help out children, and there are a lot more today than probably in the 80s and 90s. But some of them are economically geared. If you're a poor single mother, guess what? There's some safety nets and there's some programs out there because you don't make enough money. If you're a rich single mother, guess what? You can send your child to the best school. If you are a middle-class single mother and you make any inkling of what they would consider money, which you won't because your kids are out of clothes like every day.
Yeah.
You will not qualify for the free programs or the programs for the low-income children. Like, my children don't qualify for reduced lunch. But you're not rich enough to pay full price for everything. So what do you do? You work a second job, a third job to try to make ends meet, which ends are ends. They don't meet, baby. But you do what you have to try to provide. And at the end of the day, the more time you spend trying to get money to get a better resource, the more time you're spending away from your kids. It's like a never-ending cycle, and it makes you just want to cry.
Well, we don't want you to cry. We're going to take a music break. And we're going
to
have a word from my sponsor.
But that is one of the factors that a single mother, who is there with you? Yes, yeah, some of the resources might be available, but how do you then get to them?
Exactly.
We're going to explore that when we come back. We're going to take a quick music break.
Here's a rose for each heartbreak that sent you tumbling down. Gay so blue for you. Girl, you smile like a shining star. Give the earth the crown. Yes, you do. Brand new.
And we're back. Our show today is being brought to you by Ward Cleaning Service. They are located in the Washington, D.C. and Baltimore area. Give them a call today and let them hurt your dirt. Their number is area code 443-866-1746. Ward Cleaning Service.
Once again, thank you for joining Talking with the G's on BBS Radio. Shannon, we would like you to continue your thoughts.
Saying that one of the issues with being a single mother is that you really need the support piece, and it can be so daunting when you're the only one doing everything, trying to find the resources your child needs, trying to balance activities your child may want to do, and trying to balance work. It really does take a village. And parenthood wasn't meant to be one person. It really was meant for you to have two people there. And even though I said that, you know, if no one's there every day, you're in the trench. You are. But if you just have someone on the outside of the trench lending you a hand every now and then, it does make a difference. So having your grandma or grandpa or your best friend, and if they have kids too, great. Find a method to alternate weekends with them. At least once a month or every other weekend, you give them your kids, then the next weekend you take their kids. You know, alternate who has whose kids. That way you're giving each other a break. I think that's one of the ways I've managed to survive this, having grandma and grandpa help me transport the kids to activities because traffic's too bad for me to get home from work in time. Having those before and after school care, and just in case I got off work early one day, I don't have to rush and get them. I can take those 5 minutes to myself or those 10 minutes to myself, and that is very important. So there's strategies you have to put in place, because if not, you know, you're going to find yourself in a dark place where you feel like there's no place to go. You know, what can you do? Because you feel like you're giving everything, and most of the time you are. So you have to find downtime. Even if it's, you need a nap, take the kids to the movie theater and take a nap while they watch the movie. You'll miss the whole movie, but you'll get a nap. So there's things you just have to put in place so that you get your break.
Anita, can you give us some ways that you took some time for yourself?
There were times during the relationship I needed some me time. Like I said, I was one of the lucky ones. I had someone who would, you know, working a 12-hour shift, coming home and trying to deal with two boys. Yeah.
sometimes I would have to step back to regroup. And me and a girlfriend, we would go to dinner. I had a girlfriend that was there for me. She was like, okay, I'm going to take the boys off your hands. I'm going to do this. I had, you know, like she said, grandparents, the grandparents. They would go and be over at grandparents' house. I had some people that had children the same age, you know, as mine. And, you know, she would come get them. Okay, I'm going to take the boys, take them off your hands, just to give me some time to just regroup and to, you know, get it together and, you know, to be there for them. Because there were many times, like I said, I have a son that has a mental illness. And, you know, that was like a, you know, dropping him off at school, praying that he stay a whole day. That was the task of the day, you know, because there were many times I had to give up many a job because he would either have an outburst or do something to the point to where I would have to go get him. And I never really had time to just really take care of me. Most of my time, there are 24 hours in a day. And at that time, you know, most of the hours, if not at work, it was going to the school, taking care of him, getting him, you know, focused back to so that he could go to class, or getting him together so that he could do, you know, what it is that he needed to do. So I had friends, you know, girlfriends that would come, you know, and help me, you know, and tell me, you know, okay, yeah, you know, you need this time for yourself. You know, because sometimes you can run yourself ragged, taking care of children, taking care of, you know, especially a child that has a mental illness. That takes a lot of work, a lot of patience, and a lot of prayer. So I had a lot of friends, you know, that came, you know, to my rescue and helped me, you know. So that was a good thing for me, you know. So that's how, you know, I got through it.
So we're winding down our show. I can't believe the hour went so fast. And I was wondering, Anita, is there any advice that you would give to a young single mother? You've been there, you've done it, you survived it.
My best advice to any young mother, I know that it's a hard struggle, and I know that, you know, it gets overwhelming sometimes. But in wee hour when the children are asleep, and, you know, there's a little quiet time, first you thank God that you made it through that day. Prayer is the best key, and it gives you such a peace of mind. And also, there's a little thing that I used to do, I don't do anymore. Have a glass of wine, just to unwind. Moscato will be your best friend. I would say that to any single mother, because raising children up today, it's going to either drive you crazy, drive you insane, or drive you to drinking. But I say much prayer. If my advice was to any single mother, a lot of prayer and a lot of patience. Ask God every time in your daily prayer, give me the patience to, you know, to go through this. Because raising children, it's a storm. It's a season, but do know this, that it will pass. And before you know it, you'll be an empty nester.
Thank you very much, ladies. Thank you, Shannon. Thank you, Anita. We want to thank our friends at Ward Cleaning Company for sponsoring our show today. We also want to thank our music contributors, Michael Mabry and That Zulu. Thank you once again, and we'll be right here in 2 weeks. God bless and take care.